could condemn to die.
But Jesus took really to my place.
He bore it all that I might live.
In his presence live, he bore it
Jesus
all.
Jesus bore it all.
I see his clean face.
He bore it all.
He bore it all. I with him I live, I stood condemned to die, but Jesus
really took my, he bore it all. Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is so good and so wonderful. And do you love God? Do you trust God? I will trust in
the Lord.
Yes, I will. Sing it if you trust him.
In the Lord.
Yes, I will
trust
in the
Lord.
Oh, until I die. Yes, yes, I will
trust
in
trust
in the Lord. Yes, I will
trust.
He'll, thank you, Father. Yes, until I'm gonna stay on. Thank you. Yes, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. Oh, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. Oh, until I die, I'm gonna stay on
the battlefield.
Yes, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. Oh, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. Yes, till I die. But you gotta treat people right. I'm gonna treat everybody
right.
Oh, I'm gonna treat everybody
right.
Yes, I'm gonna
treat everybody
right. Oh, until I die, well, I'm gonna treat everybody right. Oh,
I'm gonna treat everybody
right. Yes, I'm gonna
treat
everybody
right.
Yes, until I die. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for joining us this morning. We hope we can say something that will touch you, that will minister to you, hopefully that will compel you to want to have a better relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have a question, if you need to talk to someone, call a number on your screen, and we'd be glad to speak with you even this day. Amen. Amen. We are still in a lesson series that we began a few weeks ago entitled The Solid Rock Foundation Series. I'm just going to dive right in. We're on about lesson three. I don't know how many lessons we'll have, but this is lesson three of that series. And last week we identified without going into grave review the three eras, the three ages, the three dispensations that are identified in the scriptures, the ages that we are identified from the beginning of time to Moses, the patriarchal period or the starlight period, the Mosaic period from Moses to Jesus Christ, and from Christ to the present day, the Christian dispensation, the Christian age. And we use the scripture Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1 to show in the scriptures that we are in the last days, the last dispensation of time. And just for time's sake, I don't have time to review all of during the patriarchal period God spoke to the fathers, the heads of the household, to the patriarchs in visions. He audibly spoke to them in visions and in different ways. He spoke through to Moses through a burning bush. But don't you go looking for a burning bush today. Amen. Amen. And then from the time of Moses, when he called out Abraham, as we went through one of the messages to show that God's plan is unfolding, and he selects Abraham. He doesn't select him haphazardly or randomly, as some people might think, because God, when he selected a person, it was for a purpose, but he selected somebody who loved him and who was serving him. And Abraham was not a novice to God, because as soon as God gave him the promise of the promised land and his promised seed, Abraham commenced to building an altar to God. And that was not his first experience at building an altar and having and honoring God. And we want to title the lesson today, the law versus Christianity. And we're going to get a little bit more detail of the Mosaic, that second era, the second dispensation of time, as we transition to the Christian age in which we are living in. And if you don't, whether you know it or not, and we're doing this series, and I try to do them at the beginning of the year. We want to make sure our church is grounded, is that we are on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ. When he said, on this rock I will build my church, he was talking about on himself, on Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ alone, because there's a lot of confusion today, and there's a lot of I believe, error in teaching of God's word when people don't understand the different, what dispensation, what age we're in right now. And we need to understand that clearly from the word of God, and we need to be able to relay that to individuals who don't understand, and not arrogantly in love, but we do it knowing and fearing the terror and the awesomeness of our great God. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verse number 4. First of all, some statements I'm going to make emphatically, and some of it you have to do some homework. You don't let the preacher do all the work for you. You have to do a little bit of homework yourself. And I don't proclaim to know everything. And I would be willing to study, stand the test of sitting down studying with you if you don't understand something. Romans chapter 7, verse number 4. Everybody's all right this morning? Amen. Hope you came here to worship and serve our great God. Let's go to school this morning in the word of God. Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren. So don't come here sleeping this morning. My brethren, you also were made to die to the law. And he says, my brethren, we're in the New Testament now. Paul writing to the Roman Christians, the Greek Christians. There were some Jewish Christians also in Rome. He says, my brethren. So we know he's talking about Christians who you were made to die to the law. Now we know what death is, don't we? To die to the law. He identifies the law. The law, the L is in capitals in your Bibles, because he's speaking of the Testament. See, under this second dispensation, under the first dispensation, God spoke through the heads of the household. He audibly did it. Under the second, he gave a written code, not like any other that had ever been existed in that time. Code of laws and commandments and testimonies and ordinances, so they could absolutely get it right. And it is identified in the Bible as the law of Moses, as the Hebrew law. And here it says, you were made to die. See, the law was never meant to be permanent. Never meant to be permanent, but it was a good law. Now, don't get me wrong. He says you are made to die to the law through the body of Christ. He says, so that you might be joined to another. Now, we're in the last days. We are not under the law. The law was given as a temporary arrangement to train, to teach, to tutor God's people, but it was leading them to a better law, which is the law of Christ. And if you are a Christian today, you are in the body of, everybody say Christ. Christ. And that's where you want to be. Now, but you need to understand where we come from. And listen, he says this, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Drop down to verse number 6, Romans 7, 6. But now we have been released from the law. Don't let anybody try to tie you down to the law of Moses. Now listen, the law of Moses, the Old Testament is in the Bible. It is good for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We learn about God. We see how God worked. We see his character. We see we serve the same God, but we're not under the same rules as they were under. He says this, you are released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we might serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now, which would you like better? Now, new or old? Now, I know that question is a little bit relative. Sometimes older is better. But in this sense, in every way, I promise you, new is better than old. It is absolutely better than old. And he says, he said, newness of spirit. Have you ever had a change of bosses on a job? You've been in a job where you were under bondage under one of those bad bosses. I mean, just really, you just, oh, here we go again. You just hated even going to work, hoping nothing bad happened. And it's like you in prison. And by lo, you don't know how it happened. Lo and behold, they sold the company, or the boss got sick, and you got a new boss that was refreshing, that was just brought things new, that uplifted the whole morale of the office. And you said, praise the Lord. Notice this, the New Testament is such. But listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Ephesians 2, 11, and following. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh. Now, he's talking to Jews and Gentiles. But he says, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. Under the Old Testament, every male had to be circumcised on the eighth day. If you were a Jew, automatic. If you were a Jew, you absolutely had to do it. Now, but the Gentiles didn't have it. He says, by the so-called circumcision, the Jews, and God didn't intend for them to do this, but they somehow had this air about them that they thought that they were better than everybody else. And God didn't intend for them to do that, but they did, and they called. You remember when David, when Goliath challenged the children of Israel, and David said, "Who is this uncircumcised giant that defies the children of God?" That's what David said. And uncircumcision was seen as something that was filthy. And he says this, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. But now in Christ, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the divide. See, it always was God's purpose that everybody in the world be one. Everybody. There are so many different teachings, so many different beliefs, so many different religions, so many different practices, but that is not of God. Well, Brooke, why would you try to teach that one? And you know we can't be one because that's God's will. And if we don't talk about it, it will never happen. If we don't teach it, it will never happen. For he himself is our peace. Then he says, verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, which we're going to speak about in just a second. The law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's what we're talking about. So that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, by having it put to death the enmity. Yeah, see, God wants one body. And we know from the scriptures, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 24, that the body is the church and the church is the body. God wants one church in the world, not one church here in Fifth Ward, but one church all over the world that's teaching basically the same thing. That's God's will for the world. Yeah, and so you know God is not pleased with what we have here in the United States of America, in Europe, and all over the world. You know God is not pleased with all of this foolishness and confusion that's going on everywhere. Listen. So let's get down to the bottom of it and make sure we are doing what God would have us to do. The brother read, and you're hearing a few moments ago, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. You need your thinking caps, need your minds this morning. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from the slave, although he is owner of everything. The heir is a child. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. I want to get a little bit more specific so we can make an application. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. Then he says, so also we. He speaks to us as Christians. While we were children, we're held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. Now, he's talking about a number of things. He's also talking about those that were under the Mosaical system, under the Mosaic law. And in this context, he's talking about how individuals were until the introduction of Jesus Christ and the Christian age. Until the introduction of the New Testament, this is how people were. They had a law, but it was a law that was bringing them. They had this inheritance, but they were not. They were still in the immature state as the Old Testament. It was like a childlike state. They lacked maturity. The Old Testament, this old law, it was kind of like, if you will, and I don't want to be facetious, but it's kind of like a kindergarten. It's the ABCs, the rudiments that were known of God. In contrast, when we get to Christianity, it's deeper. It's a deeper level of service God requires, and he gives all of these laws. Under the old law, that was a greater degree of tolerance, if you will, if you study the old law. See, I would kind of compare it to toddlers, you know, like a child. You know, toddlers, a child, when he's eating and at the table or on his eating chair, and if a child throws his food on the floor, they'll do that every now and then, won't they? You know, you have to correct them, but they'll throw peas and throw things on the floor. But surely you don't expect an adult to do the same thing. Yeah. You don't expect the adult need to know better than throwing his peas on the floor. You see, during this pre-Christian age, God was more tolerant of human beings. Although God dealt severely with human beings. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 16. Acts 14, 16. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Notice this. Now you had the Jewish nation who he gave the law. You had all of the pagan nations who they worship idols. God wasn't pleased with it. But God didn't give them a written code. He put morals in them. And he gave them the Jews, and he gave them this law, and the Jews were to live in such a way to be an example to all the nations. They didn't worship God the right way. And God tolerated that for a time. He did it for a time. Listen to what Acts 17 and verse 30 says. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should. God is not tolerating that today. Yeah, no, God not. If you say, okay, what about people that don't know or didn't know? Well, if you didn't know, you better know now. Or you better be hurrying up and learning what God wants you to do. And then you look at Abraham, who was selected by God. By the way, Abraham, he was the father of the children of Israel. They were also called Hebrews. Abraham was the first to be called the Hebrew in Hebrew in Genesis 14. He was called the Hebrew. Hebrew means from the other side. From the other side, not only the other side of the Euphrates River at that particular time, but Abraham believed in one God, and all the other folk believed in many gods. And even during that time, God was patient with a whole lot of folk. And he allowed some things to go on. And you notice under this old law system, the Old Testament, the law of Moses, there was a lot of carnality, a lot of worldliness, a lot of physicalness of the system that, you know, as you know, like young children require, you know, a lot of visuals to learn. Visual aids in education. And I know, you know, I still learn better with a lot of visuals. But, you know, as they grow older, they should learn how to think and reason and think abstractly and act responsibly. And they shouldn't have to, you as an adult, you shouldn't have to have, I shouldn't have to be showing you videos to get you to understand what God is all about all the time. And sometimes we do that even now. We come to church and we want everything in live and living color, flashing and beaming and lights and the PowerPoint. If the screen not working, we don't sing. We don't even read the Bible. We don't bring our Bibles. And in the childlike state, we have visuals. And under the old law, you see, listen, and as there were so many carnal elements in this Hebrew system, in the Old Testament law system. There are a lot of carnal elements. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Hebrews 9, 1. Now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. Those of you that know about the tabernacle, which was a physical structure that the Jews carried around them when they were in the wilderness. And then the temple was permanently built in Jerusalem. And it says, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one in which the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And a lot of folk even today are impressed when they see gold and all of these things are shining. And it just looks nice. And under the old law, they had those elements that they were commanded and the priests were commanded. But understand this, that was not intended to be permanent. It wasn't. Go to verse 9, Hebrews 9, 9, which is a symbol, notice, for the present time. See, that was just a shadow. That was a tutor of only a tutor. It says, accordingly, both gifts and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for their body imposed. Notice, until a time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that was the end of the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means tent, temporary dwelling. And so when we come to worship the Lord today, we can worship the Lord outside if we wanted to. Some of you say, not today. We could worship the Lord if our heart is right, if our mind is focused on God. We, as long as two or three come together in God's name, we can worship to God. We don't have to go to a facility. We can worship God when our hearts are right. We can worship on the freeway if they will let us. Under the old law, couldn't happen. Under the old law, that was against the law to do that. But God is pointing the people to Jesus Christ and this new and better law. Yes, he did. A lot of worldliness under this New Testament. The carnal is replaced by the spiritual. It is. Everybody say spiritual. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes for just a second. Because, see, the spirit involves what you can't see. It involves your heart. See, John said this, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And you do that from, open your eyes. You do that from within. You don't have to see anything to motivate you to want to serve God. And notice this. Well, how are we doing it today, Brother Gary? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Thank the Lord I don't have to bring a bull or a goat up here today. That's what they had to do. Pigeons, turtle doves, bulls, goat. Honey, do you have our pigeon? You have our turkey today? You have our ham today? Do you get to go out there and kill a lamb today? You know we got to go back. You don't need that. Just bring yourself here to the Lord in the right mindset. In the spiritual mindset, see, and we need to be preparing ourselves. You know, I'm telling you, there's a lot of distractions. And I know some of you had some, you probably were fussing before you came in here today. You know, and you have to block the devil out. Oh, have mercy. Said, honey, let's don't fuss this morning now. Come on now, we're going to worship. Baby, let's say that to later. Yeah. I mean, you know, and there's so much pulling at us. You can't turn it off. Music, songs, information, news, you know, Sunday morning, sometimes, some mornings on Sunday mornings, my wife, she likes to turn the TV on because she's like noise. She just wants some noise, and you turn it on, sometimes it's okay. Some Sunday mornings, she turned the TV on one Sunday morning, and some came on. I said, God, turn that TV off. Some stuff takes you far from God. And, you know, I just, oh, the mercy. No, and don't watch the news. It's flooding. It's snowing. This morning, she turned the TV on. Well, two people died in Philly. Oh, that's right by the church. So I said, babe, turn that off, please. Not this morning. Notice Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Acts 17. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with. That's the difference in the law and Christianity. They focus so much attention. Oh, we got to go to the tabernacle. We go into the place, and they see the thing. And that was the focus, because the Bible says in the New Testament, God don't dwell in physical temples. And so that means that if you get your mind right in serving and worshiping and praying to God, and wherever you are, you in your car, you can have a spiritual service to God in your car. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, under the new law, see, the priests, they had a very important role, because they set the stage, and their job, they were dedicated to serving and getting everything ready, and all the elements, the incense, and the tables, and the showbread, and that's what their job was, and it was so meticulous, and they had to purify themselves before they did it themselves. They had to do that. But under the new law, do you know, under the New Testament law, that everybody in here that has named the name of Christ, you are a priest. See, and sometimes I don't think we, you know, and I know if you come out of different backgrounds, see, for instance, in the Catholic background, you know, the priest is upheld high as a holy man of God, and you go into the priest, and you go into a box, and you ask the priest to pray for your sins and your sins, and it's a solemn time. Don't you understand? Under the new law, don't you understand that is error under the new law? That you no longer are enslaved. You no longer are bound. You don't have to wait to talk to that man about your sins. He got probably more than you. Oh, have mercy. He said this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Great big difference from the law and Christianity. We all are priests. You need to go back in Exodus and Hebrews and read how all of the clothing and the dresses of the priests and all the details they went into, everything that they wore, that is no longer needed today at all. Yeah. So you see the difference. It's the carnality, the visuals, and the emphasis on the things that you could see. Oh, it served a purpose. It put God where he's supposed to be. And that law was good for them because they didn't have it before. They tried to do it on their own. They couldn't do it. God gave them the law. He gave them this special treatment to see his character. And they still defied God. Yeah. See, under the old law, or in the childlike state, you know, children, you got to tell them virtually everything to do. Children, baby, did you brush your teeth this morning? Pick up your clothes. Get in there and clean the kitchen. Wash the dishes. Make sure did you put some clean underwear on, son? If you don't tell them, you know they won't do it. Yeah, that's a child, isn't it? But I hope nobody. I'm gonna give you I say 18. Let's go to 21. If you're 21, should anybody have to remind you to brush your teeth? I certainly hope not. I hope not. See, notice, under the old law, the Jewish rabbis, they had a collection of 613 commands. 248 were positive, 365 were negative. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And in addition to that, there were 50 volumes of commentary explaining all of these detailed rules and men of the laws. The code itself contained, you know, foods you could eat, foods you could not eat. It contained clothing specification, a laundry list of civil, social, religious ordinances was all laid out for the Jews. And they read them. But under the New Testament, it's not structured the same way. Not that there are not any laws. No, not by no means. We're not saying, yeah, Brother, I like the new. It's freedom. You have freedom, but you have freedom. That's liberty in the new law, but there is a law. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, 2. Bear one another's burden and thereby are fulfill the law of Christ. And so don't think that we're not under rules and laws. Matter of fact, some of the same guidelines and laws and rules followed over to the New Testament. Some of them did. It's still a sin to murder somebody. It's still a sin for you to steal. It's sin for you to kill. But the New Testament, it speaks more of principles and guidelines, not every blatant detail. It addresses the motive and encourages responsible acts on us as human beings, as adults, responsible submission to God. And God doesn't spell out every line and dot that you can and cannot do. See, God don't tell us in the New Testament to remember the Sabbath day. Under the Old Testament, it was remember the Sabbath. He keep it holy. The Sabbath was a Saturday, the seventh day, the day that they rested on. They were to keep it holy. Holy. They defied it. They were to be punished. It was even punishable by death. Under the new law, he says this in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, notice this. Under the new law, he doesn't say remember the Sabbath. You have folk come back, well, where in the Bible that you have to come to Wednesday night Bible class? And, you know, where in the Bible you have to come to Sunday evening service? And where in the Bible? And they want to know, they want to show you where in the Bible says seek ye first the kingdom of God. And see, so when you talk about now under the old law, see, there were so many that under the old law, they had all of these festivals. Some of them, they had seven day festivals, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover feast. They had yearly feasts. They had feasts that you had to bring things. They knew specifically what under the new law, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so how under the new law, grace and truth is a better law. God does not give all of these line item dot. What do you do every day? Jesus says, he that would follow me should take up his cross how often? Daily. And I don't know about you, but I need the Lord every single day. It's not a question to me, am I going to be at worship service on the Lord's Day? I solved that long. I know you're the preacher. I have always been the preacher. I saw that a long time ago that I know I need to be close to God. I need to thank God. I need to praise God. I need to be grateful to God for all of his blessings to me. I know all my blessings come from him. And it's not about me coming to worship on the first day of the week. I know I need to be here. Amen. To serve God who is in heaven, who made all things and gave us a better covenant under this new law. And then just tell me, now we see examples on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We see they came together to break bread. Some people say, well, don't say they did it every week. Yes, it does say that. The apostles came together on the first day of the week. I'll give you another, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And they came together. He told them to take up a collection, to take up an offering. They came together on the first day of the week. How many weeks has the first day? Every week has a first day. And I don't know about you, but I've decided I'm not going to miss any of it unless I'm providentially hindered. See, he's talking to grown. He's talking to people whose hearts are love God. He says, seek ye first. Notice under the new law, sometimes we have this employee mentality. And most of us probably are employees. Like, I'm an employee of the church. But the employee mentality says that's not in my job description. Oh, you used that one before? that's not my job description. Nobody tell me how to do it. That's the employee mentality, as opposed to whatever it takes to get the job done. See, and I'm not going to say that that's the employer, that's the boss, that's the owner's mentality. It's the mentality of that person who wants to succeed, who wants to get the job done. And under this New Testament, the Christian age, is if you want to get to heaven, you say, well, Lord, whatever it takes, I need to do it. Yeah, you see, under the old law, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Under the new law, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. He said, well, the Bible don't really specifically say that gambling is a sin. Show it to me. Is it a sin if you buy something hot? if it's not, it sounds like it. Now notice this. Some things we can answer for ourselves. I know the devil is tempting. A lot of things are tempting. But the Bible says to abstain from every. Now if something is hot, what does that mean? It means they stole it. Notice, does anybody in here like anybody to steal anything from you? No, sir. See, you can answer some of this yourself. God don't say, I don't want you to ever, never, ever go into the liquor store. That's not in the Bible, is it? And you know what? I love it because it's that way. Because, see, there may be a reason that I need to go in the liquor store one day. That might be. My daughter might be in there. Somebody might be hurt. Somebody might call me and say, Brother Gary, I need you to come pray for me. I'm at the liquor store. Woo! And I walk up in there. And 10 church members see me. Oh, I saw Brother Gary going in the liquor store. Oh! Shame on y'all. And I go in there and I pray for that sister and bring on out of there. And I haven't seen. See, God leaves the onus. He leaves, in many instances, See, there are some things that may be sin to you that may not be to me. Now, I'm not saying that there's a big laundry list of things, but God says you know. See, I can't, under the old law, they were to give the tenth of everything. I mean, you know, if we went and really studied, you see there was more than a tenth. Under the new law, you can't find one scripture that tells you that you need to give a tenth of everything you have. But the brothers read here. This is a passage that we read on offering that's on the scriptures. It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, for I've given all to you, the church of Galatians, on the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God has. Then the Bible says, not grudgingly. Notice this. Nor of necessity, for God loves a. God loves a cheerful giver. Now God didn't put an amount on you. But you can tell how much someone loves God, how much someone is dedicated to God. You can tell by how much they give. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, if the old law was a good law and God was good to them, and now they didn't follow the law, and now we're under grace and truth. Now Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and the scripture says over and over, it's better for us. How much should we give? That's a measuring rod for us. But at the same time, for those who would be legalistic all the time, you know, those that would be legalistic and say all the time, you are supposed to give this much, you need to be careful yourself. See, you need to be very careful. There might be times that I give my whole check. Oh, okay, I ain't giving. I said I give my whole check to God. There may be a time that God has been so good to me. Lord, thank you for blessing my daughter to get better. Thank you for this bonus you gave me on my job. I wasn't even expecting it. I wasn't even counting. And I just thank you, Lord, and I'm going to give it back to you, Lord. I'm going to get home. No, that's you. And then there may be a time that I lost my job. My time is almost up. I'm out of work. I haven't worked in 6 months. My family is hurting. I don't have a dime. And I can't give anything to God. Oh, yes, you still can give to God. God is concerned about your heart more than anything. And even when the tray is passed, he says, you can say in your Lord, you know if I had some money. Lord, I would get. Don't start spending all your money. Oh, Brigger, I need to hear that because I got some stuff I need to buy. You remember God knows your heart. And he still says, seek ye first. See, in other words, see, when you see God first, you set aside God's win. Oh, is that what that means? Oh, I tell you, the New Testament, the new law, the Christian law, it's deeper. But it's right, it gets right to the heart of the matter. And it identifies right where you are. And you can't fool, you can't fool yourself under this new covenant. See, under the old covenant, you could be going through the motions. You could bring your lamb to the table. You could be in the tabernacle at the right time. And you could still be the worst devil that ever lived. But we're under this new covenant of grace and truth. And the Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. Notice, he said in spirit. God wants not just the practices, not just the routines, with the right attitude and the right way. God's way. And so let's as we study, as we build our foundations, let's check our motives, check our attitudes, check our minds, Brother Gary, do I need to worship God every first day of the week? Does the preacher have to answer that for you? Listen, let me ask you. If you're not worshiping God, what are you doing? Just ask yourself that question. Well, you mean you're at the ballpark? You're fishing? Now notice this. You have to answer that yourself. You're playing golf. And the saints are meeting. And we're glorifying God. You at the racetrack. And you in God's temple that He gave you, and you feeling good, and you got good health, and you, God is good, isn't He? He's good. He's good. He's gracious. He's merciful to us. You here today, and you're not a child of God. My time is up. As we continue to study, I don't want to rush it. I have some other points I definitely need to make as we transition to this Christian age, because we got to see all of this as we're trying to grow stronger in the Lord and see as we're not looking for somebody to tell me, well, just tell me exactly what I need to be doing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them, of those that diligently seek Him. If you're here and you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. If you're here and you want to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, notice, these acts, they didn't have to do under the old law. It was given to the Jews. If they were circumcised, if they were a Jew, they had the right. But under the new law, you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ the way God wants us to do it. And God will add you to His church. Notice, that one body that we're talking about, that one body that He wants Jew and Gentile, male, female, bond and free, every race to be in the one body in the whole world. That's God's plan. And it's His plan for the entire world. If you want to be in that body, you can be baptized today, just like they did in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost and thereafterwards. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you have something that you need to get right and we need to pray for you, we'll do that also as we stand and sing the song. Invitation.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the foe of God?
Hear you now
the invitation, oh prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
oh ye thy warning,
your life will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God.
To meet thy God.
Why so thoughtless are you standing? Ooh.